But Europe's definitely our first focus. We were surfing as well while we were there. The first morning, Andrew said, should we go and get a surfing board, do some surfing? So we went round to a little second-hand shop, and for a few pence, he bought a surfboard. So before breakfast every morning, we had a little surf. Does that sound good? Yeah. They live right on the beach, and it's really, really nice. I'm not tempting you to go next year, but it is nice. And I didn't realise surfing was so hard. Keanu, it's hard work, isn't it? And it hurts, doesn't it? You fall off and you get hurt, and Matthias has big scratches right across his back to prove it. And it's interesting what the Holy Spirit's been saying this morning. No one knows what I'm preaching on this morning, because I don't know myself. No, that's a joke. But I'm preaching about Samson, about Samson's life. And I'm preaching on something called missing grace. And the Holy Spirit's been saying this morning, hasn't he, challenging us about, don't miss the wave. Don't miss something. Be ready for God moving. Be ready for what God's doing. So I want to speak to you this morning about how we cannot miss the wave and be ready for what God's doing. Surfing is a skill that you have to learn. And so is moving in the Holy Spirit. Walking with God, there are certain things you have to learn. It doesn't just happen naturally. You're not just saved one day, then become like Jesus the next day and you're saving the world the next day. It doesn't work like that. God works with us slowly, slowly, year by year, inch by inch, we grow and change. Sometimes in big encounters, sometimes in terrible trials, he transforms us slowly. And actually, that's the best way. But it is possible to actually completely miss the will of God for your life and God's best for your life. And that's a scary thought. I'm sure you don't want to do that. Just turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says in verse 11 here, speaking about the Old Testament examples. So speaking about the life of Samson and the life of Solomon and how God dealt with Israel and all the rest of the history. It says this, Paul says, to the church. He says to us, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. These things happened to them as examples and they were written down as warnings for us. So when we look at the Old Testament, when we read about these lives, some of them are examples and some of them are warnings for us. So we look at how God dealt with David and how God dealt with Joseph and these people, and some of them are just examples. Hey, this is how you want to be. This is how to respond to God. This is what works. This is what makes life work. And that's an example. Okay, well, I want to be like that. Others are warnings. Don't be like this woman. Don't be like this man. If you go down this track, this is where you'll end up. Warnings. So you're up for a bit of warning today. It's mainly warning, but there is some good stuff, actually. The end of his life ends with a bit of glory. Good to have a bit of glory in the end, eh? The good news about grace is you can absolutely blow it your whole life long, and God can make the last little bit of your life so awesome and powerful that it deletes all the bad stuff. Does that sound good? It's the truth. But the best is to walk with God your whole life long, and that is the truth. From the moment you're saved, that you keep walking with God and fall, get back up, keep going, get hurt, forgive, keep going, keep going, keep going, and slowly, 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 you're actually fulfilling your destiny for God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're our wonderful teacher, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, this morning to speak to our hearts and to touch our hearts and to fill us, Lord, now with your presence. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to enlighten us, to show us areas where we need to change or grow or repent. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that we'd be ready for what you want to do in our lives. Be ready to catch a wave of revival and just live the rest of our lives, revival or not, following you and obeying you and doing your will. So when we finish this life, we can come before you without shame, but with gladness and say, this is what I did with my life for you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, I obviously don't have time to read through the life of Samson because there's a few chapters, but just to, I'll give you a couple of little verses. In chapter 13 of Judges, It says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who couldn't have children. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You can't have children and you are childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. See to it that he drinks no wine or other fermented drink, and that you don't eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines," which actually is what happened. And so, you see, first of all, he's separated. He's separated to God. He's separated for God, for God's glory. Just like you and me are. We belong to God. We're separated for him, set apart for him. God says in Ephesians, Paul says that he chose us to be destined to be his children before the world began. God chose you to be separate to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 6 says, "Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough?" Get rid, this struck me the other day when I was reading it, that's why I'm sharing it. Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Paul's saying to the church now, get rid of your old life, of your old sins. And yeast was used as an image of sin. Yeast is like a little weird chemical ingredient that you mix in bread, and it has this effect on all of it. And the bread rises because yeast is in it. If there's no yeast in the bread, it can't rise. But if there's a little yeast in one piece of the bread, it affects all of it and it all rises. It has a chemical effect. So does sin. "Oh, I'll just let this little bit of sin stay in my life. Well, this bit doesn't really matter. I'll keep this for myself. It won't affect my marriage." It will. It won't affect my kids and their kids. Oh, it will. Oh, you don't understand the nature of sin. When you cherish sin in your heart or in your life, you keep a little pet sin, it is has a chemical reaction on all of your relationships, on your relationship with God and everything. And Paul says, get rid. We use that term, don't we? Get rid. Get rid and get out. You know, it says, for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. You know the story of the Passover? They had a lamb and they sacrificed it. And Moses said to the people of Israel, while you're sacrificing the lamb and putting the blood in the dot, keep your coats on, get your wellies on, get your backpack on, have your staff in your hand. Don't sit down for a leisurely meal. You're going. You don't belong here. You're on your way out the door. You're on your way out of slavery. You're on your way out of this nation. And Paul says the same to the church. He says, look, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Don't stay here. Don't stay in Egypt. Don't stay living in this world, like this world, when you're meant to be, I'm out of here. I don't belong here anymore. My coat's on, my backpack's on. I don't belong in the land of slavery anymore. Can you imagine if they'd just had the lamp? They put the blood on the door, so the angel of death passed over them. Oh, whew, take your coats off, everyone. We can chill. The angel of death has passed. Yeah, I went forward in the meeting. I'm saved. I've made a commitment to Christ. I'm saved. I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, take your coat off. Let's chill. Oh, there's no need to go anywhere. Let's enjoy a nice, leisurely meet. That's how thousands of Christians in Europe live. Thousands. Oh, they're saved, but they're in utter bondage to Satan. They're in utter slavery to sin because they don't get the coat on and get the wellies on. Well, they probably didn't wear wellies. Sandals on, staff in hand, and say, I'm going for the whole thing. I'm not just saved from the angel of death. I'm taking my family and we're leaving the land of bondage and the land of slavery. We're going to walk with God. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to go across that water, which corresponds to baptism. Who needs to be baptized? Who hasn't been baptized yet? Give me a little wave. You haven't been baptized in water you'd like to be? Awesome. We'll give you a date next week. And you get baptized and you live with God. You walk through the wilderness of this world because you're heading somewhere. Heaven. The land of Canaan. You don't live your whole life in Egypt, do you? No. Well, get rid and get out. Get rid of him. Get rid of her. Get rid of those so-called friends who are dragging you back into the world. Get rid of that super cool phone that you can't stop watching pornography on. Get rid of it. Get the yeast out of your life, out of your house. It says, actually, no yeast shall be seen in your borders. Not even seen. It's not like just, well, it's out the house. It's at the bottom of the garden. I don't even see it. If you can see it, well, I know where it is if I ever need it. That's what we do with idols. That's what we do with sins and idols. And well, I'll keep his phone number in case I do ever want to get back with him. It's pathetic. We need to be radical and cut out sin as though it were cancer because it's more deadly than cancer. I'll just keep a little bit of cancer. Well, it'll kill you then. It'll kill you then. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I mean, that's pretty radical. And get rid of it. Better to lose your hand, he said, than keep it and have your whole body thrown into hell. We are meant to be separated for God to do his will. Samson really was. This guy had it on a plate. He was separated. He was anointed. He was powerful. He was supernaturally gifted. And he absolutely missed the grace of God in his life. You can miss it. Possible to be very gifted. He's a fantastic speaker. So what? So what? Oh, everyone I pray for gets healed. Big deal. What did you earn that, did you? Did you cook it up in your kitchen or something yourself? Paul said, why are you boasting? These things are gifts anyway. What do you have that you didn't get as a freebie? Nothing. So no boasting then. But rather, he said, let's live a life worthy of this. Let's live a life worthy of this calling that we've received. You can only do that by radical repentance. Get rid and get out. Move and live a separated life for God. It's very, very important. Samson was absolutely spoiled. He was spoiled rotten. He had it all on a plate from early days. He was a single kid with no brothers and sisters. I mean, that's potential for being spoiled, isn't it? His parents couldn't have kids. And then eventually they had a kid. Is that potential for being spoiled? I think so, do you? It's very easy, brothers and sisters, to completely spoil our kids. God won't do that with us, but we can do it to our own kids. It's easy to spoil them. They get everything on a plate. It's just on a plate. But it's not always good for them. Samson had the adoration of his mum and dad. He had supernatural gifting. Whenever he had a fight, he won. God was with him as well, and he was, in his gifting. But you know what? He just took it for granted. He didn't appreciate what he'd been given. Better to have trouble early, I think, don't you? Better to come up like David through struggle and pain and fight and trouble, and then a little bit of the kingdom, a little bit more, and finally what you were promised. Better to do it that way. Better to be a Joseph and have total rejection and devastation at the beginning, then God have to do this with him and give him it all at the end. He had it so easy, he had it on a plate. And you know what? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we don't realise we have it on a plate. We live in a country where it's just dead easy, isn't it? When you go to the third world, you realise, oh man, yeah, we have it really easy. we are so super blessed. We're so wealthy and so well-fed and looked after and safe and wow, you know. And all around the world, our brothers and sisters are getting beheaded and martyred and just suffering in total poverty and got nothing and working it through. It's very easy, brothers and sisters, for us to be spoiled here in Europe and just have it all on a plate. And even spiritually, you know, when people get saved and they get filled with the Holy Spirit here and these days, I mean, sometimes I do think, wow, you know, it took me years to get what you're getting in seconds. And that's the truth. No one explained the gospel to us. We had to seek and find over years. And you know what? It was good for us. It was good for us. Then when we were finally saved, we didn't understand about the Holy Spirit. No one knew about the Holy Spirit. So we had to seek. And, you know, some of us were thrown out of churches for speaking in tongues. Anyone remember that? Anyone remember being ostracized for speaking in tongues and believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we paid a price to speak in tongues. Now I'm persuading people to speak in tongues. It's hilarious. No, you really need this. It's really good for you. We sought it and sought it. God, please, give us the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Now we're sort of persuading people. Oh, no, I'm not sure whether I want to speak in tongues. What? And sometimes, you know, we cannot value something because it's just here. It's on a plate. Well, that's a good church. Yeah, well, someone, somewhere has got it to be that with the grace of God and the help of God. Our fathers have paid a price for us to be here this morning, receiving this, hearing this, understanding what we understand, living where we live. It's just possible to be spoiled. You know, all on a plate. In China, they don't have any Bibles, so someone finds a bit of the Bible and they copy it out 30 times and give it to the friends. And, you know what? I've got about 10 Bibles in my house. All mine. I decide when to read them or not. Oh, I think I'll have a read in my Bible. It's interesting, isn't it? Solomon was absolutely spoiled, rotten. And he was incredibly stubborn. We met this lad in the Philippines. I know some of you sponsor him. Janelle, he's called. You'll meet him because Andrew's going to bring a team over here. And Janelle was rejected by his parents and brought up by some second auntie or something. And, you know, just suffering. Was never fed. You know, was given one meal a day, tiny meal a day. He lived hungry every single day. And they just used him as a slave, a house slave. They put massive bits of wood on the back of his bike and he'd have to pedal it miles and miles into a town. And a couple of times he tried to commit suicide as he was a child. Just life was hell for him. And he told me he had no breakfast and no dinner this day. And I pedaled my bike with this bit of wood on all the way to this town. I was coming back and I just didn't want to live anymore. And I cried out to God. I didn't even know if there was a God. They're all into witchcraft and stuff, you know, and animism. They said, and he said, oh, God, please help me. He said, instantly, my hunger left. And I felt strength in my body. And I pedaled home. Thought, what? I'm not hungry. And I'm not exhausted. He pedaled home. And in a couple of months, he found Pastor Rowell's church, where I was preaching there on the video. And they took him into their family. He lives with Andrew and Ruth now. They went to this other family and said to him, he's not coming back to you anymore. They said, oh, you want him as a slave? They said, no, we're going to put him to school. We're going to pay for him to be educated and look after him, love him. And Janelle's there, you know, just learned to read. He's 19, isn't he, 19? Just learned to read. And do you think Janelle's going to value this? Oh, he is, isn't he? He's going to value the Bible. He's going to value the church. He's going to value this stuff because he had hell before he got to Jesus. Some of us are just too spoiled. We get it all dead easy on a plate, and it's not, doesn't necessarily mean the destruction of us, but it can be. It's not good for us. Much better to be like Daniel or Joseph or someone who suffers very early on and has to overcome these huge obstacles early on. Listen, if you're going through a hard time, it's not a bad thing. Some of the young leaders, you know, who are with me and guys I've trained over the years, sometimes, you know, I can save them from some trouble just through giving them a bit of advice or wisdom. Other times I watch and I think, no, I can't save them from this. This is God. You know, I can't save you from God. I'm good, but not that good. This is God. This trouble, it's a gift from him because he's training you. And you're going to have to struggle through and find God in this and find grace and not miss grace. Otherwise, you miss it. God gives us grace, but you know what? You can miss it. He was incredibly stubborn. He wouldn't listen to his parents. He wouldn't listen to their advice. He said, oh, I like this woman. You know, he didn't value his separation. He was faffing around vineyards and going near grapes and wine and stuff that he wasn't meant to. He touched that lion, which was completely unclean, a filthy carcass. He ate honey out of the filthy carcass. He just totally defiled himself. He gave the honey to his mum and dad, not telling them, defiling them. That's what it's like to live with a spoiled kid. They defile the whole house. They run the whole house. They bring rubbish into the whole house. Defile you, defile... That's Samson. He didn't respect his parents. He didn't respect the fact that he was being looked after and that he's... He didn't care. He was a loser. Do you know something? I was going to do a series on him, but I thought, he's not worth it. I'm just going to do him in one morning. He's just not worth it. I know I'll meet him one day, but I don't mind telling him that. Do you know what? And in one sense, you know what? He was successful to a measure, but all the time he was missing grace. It says in Hebrews, see that you don't, that no bitter root grows up and that no one misses the grace of God. Here's a few things that can cause you to miss the grace of God. Firstly, a bitter root. Someone offends you, someone hurts you, someone damages you in church, something, and there's a seed of bitterness there. And instead of uprooting that and repenting of your attitude to them and forgiving them or speaking to them, doing the clean thing, you leave it and it grows and you are missing grace. There's grace for you, but you're not getting it. You're allowing a bitter root to grow up inside you because you're angry. Inside you're angry. You feel like, hard done to, if you knew what they'd said to me, said about me. You know what, when all's said and done, big deal. You're bigger than it. Jesus is bigger than it. Get over it. I always loved David Pawson when someone was writing terrible things about him. And he went to the Lord and said, Lord, have you seen what they're saying about me? And the Lord said, well, it's not as bad as the truth, David. He thought, oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Isn't it terrible what's happening to me? Not really. You deserve worse. Bless you. And so do I. It's just life. Be big. Be big-hearted, forgive, overcome, be a Christian, take up the cross, die to yourself, go! Go for God, go with God. Don't miss your grace, will you? You're running a marathon, and there's a table coming up, you're desperate for a drink, there's a table coming up with some drinks, but you're competing with him, and you can't stand, look at his new trainers, I've missed my watering hole. I think I've just missed. Have you ever gone past a turn-off in the road? Because you're angry with your wife or your husband. Don't tell me where to go. I know where to go. You've missed it. You have to go right round. You can miss grace like that. There's grace for you, but you're not necessarily going to get it. Grace can come on you. Won't necessarily help you. Paul said, here's another thing that can cost you grace-wise. Laziness. Turn to the person next to you and say, laziness. Who thinks the Apostle Paul received grace? He was a massive recipient of God's grace. He was murdering Christians, and yet God forgave him, loved him, gave him a massive killer position in the church. Man, that's massive grace, isn't it? He said this, I didn't receive the grace of God in vain. Apparently you can. I didn't receive the grace of God in vain, but I worked harder than all of them. It's interesting because he's speaking about apostles. Peter and all them, you know, I worked harder than them. It's a fascinating phrase to me. I love that. I think it's fascinating. I worked harder than all of them. Grace is no enemy to hard work. If you're not willing to work, you'll never see the fullness of God in your life. You have to work. Work out your salvation. There's stuff to do. Grace isn't just, thank you, see you in heaven. God's got a world to save. He's building a kingdom. Do you want to help him? Great. Pick up a tool. Pick up a weapon. You're in. Paul said, I worked harder than all of them. He did work hard, didn't he? Whenever I see Paul, he's always going somewhere. He's always on another ship, on another journey, on another, going to another city, starting another church. He worked hard. He got a team around him who could work hard. He loved Timothy and people who, he struggled with people who turned back, and people who, Mark turned back. He really struggled. Whoa, come on! He was going for it. He was working. That's good. Brothers and sisters, don't become lazy, will you? You can receive the grace of God, but you'll receive it in vain if you're lazy. Oh yeah, one of these, you know what, I'm really going to get round to doing Route 61, doing A61. One of these days I'm going to read those books. I am. One of these days I'm going to start reading, yeah, yeah. Oh, another Facebook message. Don't waste your life, will you? You can waste your life these days on technology. Waste it. Better read a book. Better learn something. Better do something. Our kids laugh at me. I say, you're not going to the cinema during the day, are you? That's like a sin. They just laugh, you know. I mean, it isn't a sin, you know. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like the sun's up. And you meant to do something. The sun's up. It's daytime. It's for work. It's for church. It's for prayer. It's for study. It's for service. It's for something. And when you've done that work, go to the cinema. Don't go to the cinema before that. It's like, ugh. Something wrong with that. Brothers and sisters, set your alarm clocks and seek God if you want to catch a wave. Get up. Serve the Lord. That's not works. That's Christianity. Seek God while he may be found. Don't let your life go past you because of laziness. I love that proverb that says, the sluggard is hinged to his bed. Do you like that one? He's like a door on his bed. I'll just turn over again. You can't get out of the bed. He just turns. You see, because when you've been lying for so long on one side, it's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Have you noticed that in bed? Yeah, that's your body telling you, you've been there long enough. Get up and do something. You're not meant to turn. You turn, this happens. It's a bit more comfortable. Oh, good night. You go off again. Laziness is a serious sin. Jesus said to the people who he rebukes at the end of time, you wicked, lazy servant. I'd entrusted you with things and you've done nothing with it. No excuses, just repentance. If you're lazy this morning, there's one solution. Repent. Ask the Lord to fill your days and do everything with all of your heart for Jesus while you live. Because you don't live that long, and that's the truth. Use every day for Jesus Christ, every day, and you'll have no regrets, none. Don't miss the grace of God through laziness. Don't miss the grace of God through bitterness. You know what? He was successful to a measure, and it was a measure. It says he began to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And God would have to stir him up, you know, to get him into a fight with Samson. You have to wind him up, put him in situations that really angered him, so he'd actually start doing something. You like that? God has to get you in, like, against the ropes before you actually begin. He was actually friends with people who he should have been wiping out. He was partying with people who he should have been wiping out. So God had to cause real trouble for him to get him angry enough to actually wipe some of them out. There's only a few of them. He'd rather party with them. He'd rather connect to the world and be in than actually be winning the world for Jesus. Interesting and incredibly sad. He was sexual, which goes with all of it, actually. Goes with laziness, and he loved sex. and he wanted the world sex. His mum and dad said to him, "Why don't you get a wife from Israel, from the people of God?" And he said, "No, I want this woman, this Philistine woman, get her for me." And later on, you see him visiting. Later on, Samson went down to stay at the house of a prostitute. And what? What's he doing? I thought he was serving God. No, he's lost it, actually. And then he goes after Delilah, who becomes his destruction, of course. Samson and Delilah. Have you seen the movie? And, you know, she's his utter destruction in the end. You can have people of the world if you want, brothers and sisters, but they'll be your destruction in the end. Young people, marry Christians. Seek your life partner within the borders of the kingdom of God. That's just wisdom. Do not look outside the church. Don't look to the devil for what God invented. Do you know the best sex is in the kingdom of God? God invented it. It's his. He invented it. Don't want the world sex. Well, I'd rather have her. I bet she's really... Yeah, but she'll come with all the demons as well. She'll come with the father-in-law as well, the devil. And all her demons. So you have to cope with that as well. You can have Delilah, Samson, but she's a lunatic. And she'll destroy you. But you can have... If you're desperate, Samson, and that's the scary thing with God, he'll let you in the end. If you're determined, you can have it. But it'll destroy you. It will destroy you. Unlike Joseph, and it says about Samson that he nagged his mum and dad every day, "Get her for me, get her for me, get her for me," till they gave in. Oh, just get her for him. That's what spoiled kids are like. Just get it for me, get it for me, get it for me. And actually, it's the opposite of Joseph, isn't it? When Joseph was a slave, he finally met some success in Potiphar's house. Finally, his life was turning around. Finally, he had some favor. Finally, he had some power. Finally, he had some freedom. Thank you, God. Oh, but there was one problem. Potiphar's wife, every day it says, she was nagging him, saying, "Sleep with me. Sleep with me. Sleep with me." Joseph ran in the end. It says in the Bible, he would have nothing to do with her. And in the end, he ran away. In the end, he lost everything. He lost everything. He went back to prison, right back to a worse prison than where he began. You see, some people would rather die than deny Jesus. Other people deny Jesus for nothing. It's to do with your choices. Everyone receives grace, but it depends what you do with it. Everyone has choices. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us today because he doesn't want us to miss the wave. Do you want to catch a wave of revival? Because God wants to use you in it. But he can't do that if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong board. You just can't do it. You'll miss it. God is actually moving at a pace. Don't be catching up forever. Just get on board. Respond to him now while you can. And he was stupid. He was playing with fire. You know that phrase? He was stupid with Delilah. He just kept going to these women all the time and revealing more and more of his power to her all the time. And he was playing right on the edge all the time. He must have assumed that God will always be with me. Yet every time I hit the enemy, I just knock him out the ring. God's always with me. It'll always be like this. No, actually it won't. Now there came a day where the Lord left him. Actually left him. That's a horrific verse. You know that anointing, you know that power, you know that ability? Yeah, he's took it back. Yeah, you're on your own, mate. You're on your own. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I read about this secretary once who always did the work that the manager should have done. Instead of doing her own secretarial work, she was given all his work as well. And he never thanked her. He was a famous speaker. He never thanked her and he never appreciated her. One day he slammed a load of notes on a desk and said, "I'm speaking in Germany later today. I'm catching a plane. I want you to sort out this talk for me." She just put it all together, sorted all out for me. She'd had enough. So she decided to quit. But before she did this. She sorted out this talk for him. He grabbed the notes off a desk, never said thank you, went and jumped on a plane, went to speak before hundreds of people in Germany, got up on the podium, opened his speaking notes, and it said, and he said, I'm going to cover today's subject under 12 headings. And they are, he turned over again, and the secretary just wrote, there was nothing there. And she just said, you're on your own, buddy. You're on your own. You know, one day, Samson, you're on your own. No, you've let go of all the things that were valuable to you. There's nothing more to let go of. You're on your own, if that's what you want. And man, was he stupid. He's sorry, you know. It says in, have you heard that phrase, playing with fire? That comes from Proverbs. It says in Proverbs, if you commit adultery or go with prostitutes or you're sexually immoral, it's like grabbing fire and pulling fire onto your lap. Do you think that's going to hurt? It says pulling fire onto your lap. It's called playing with fire. And you get hurt. You get really hurt when you do that. And praise God, he was sorry. Actually, I sort of find that verse there. It doesn't say he was sorry, to be honest. But he starts praying. So can we assume he was sorry, just to give him a bit of help? I think he was sorry. The enemy gets hold of him. They poke his eyes out. And they set him grinding every day, round and round, performing for them. God had a destiny for Samson. It was to perform for him. But if you don't perform for God, you'll end up performing for the enemy. And they poked his eyes out. He's completely blind. Do you know something? Best thing that ever happened to him. Best thing. Some of the worst things that happen to us are the best things, you know, because God's in it. Because God is bringing us right down to who we really are, where we can meet him. Samson had it all on a plate, but now his plate was empty. Empty. And day after day, as he was walking round and round, it says, his hair began to grow again. His hair was a symbol of his relationship with God. Now it's not mammy and daddy keeping my hair. Not mammy and daddy keeping my relationship with God. Oh, stay clean, stay away from the world. Now it's you. You do it yourself. You grow a relationship with God. You find God yourself, because now you're down and out. And he has to find God himself. He's going round and round and round. Eventually, his hair grows back and he's praying. It's probably the happiest time of his life. Some of the worst things that have happened to me have been the best times of my life with God. They have. When I've lost all my friends and my job and everything. And I've had nothing. You know, I worked in a church, St. Aidan's Church, as a youth pastor once. And the pastor I was working with had a horrendous breakdown, nervous breakdown. And his wife wanted us to protect him from the other leaders and all that was going on there. And through that, in about a month, I'd trying to do the right thing, just a young guy, young people, me and Margaret really, we lost all of our friends trying to protect this pastor, our church, our job, my job. You know what? It was very devastating. Do you know what? It was also one of the happiest times of my life. When everything else went, God was there. And I got a job planting trees on the A19. Some gardener said he can work with me this winter. We planted 10,000 trees on the A19 in winter. Can you imagine that? Many a time as I was digging, I thought, I was preaching 2 months ago. I thought I was going to work for God. I tell you what, Jesus was so near me, I was absolutely buzzing. Every day I woke up buzzing, full of Jesus. I remember being so full of Jesus, speaking to God all the time. The phone rang one day, I said, picked up and went, Lord Jesus. Who is it? That was a little sign to me. God, I'm just praying all the time, speaking to God all the time. Close to me. You know, we could all catalogue trouble. We've got a catalogue full of them. That's just one little chapter. But you know what? It's often the best thing that ever happens to you. Because when you're really down, that's when you do find grace. And the good news is he did find grace. He said, God, can I have another go? And God said, go on then, Samson. Is that good? Will you use me? Even though I've messed up my life, can you use me now? Yes. Will you use me now, Lord? Yes. Will you forgive me and restore me and give me another bite of the apple? Yes. God is good. We might be stupid and stubborn and spoiled, but Jesus is very gracious and kind. He loves sinners and he uses them and works with them. When the Apostle Peter blew it, Jesus gave him another go. Would you like another go? Stand. Lord, we're here today, stood in your presence, and we thank you that you've been speaking this morning about not missing grace. And Lord, all we can say is that we don't want to. We don't want to miss grace. We could go down that list and tick a few things that are us. But the ones we really want to tick are separated, sorry, and saved. And Lord, we just give you ourselves this morning. We ask you that you'd use this church and use our lives in revival in Europe to the ends of the earth. We thank you that the gospel is the power of God, as it will be tonight, as it always is whenever it's proclaimed. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come now to every heart, to convict. And you know, I want you to do something. Just imagine you have your issue that the Holy Spirit's been convicting you about now during this talk in your hand. You're holding it in your hand. So clench your fist if you feel like you've got an issue that God's been speaking to you about. And we're going to let it go to Jesus. Just have a moment. Think about what that is. Think about the cost, about the repentance, about getting rid and getting out and being ready, about forgiving or doing whatever you need to do not to miss grace, about changing your lifestyle if you're lazy, about being willing to repent and do live for God with all your heart. And then, when you're ready, let go of that yeast. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Open your hands and let it go. And then with both hands open, receive the Holy Spirit, who always comes and fills those places when we repent. Holy Spirit, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Lord. We receive you. Give us another go. In Jesus' name. Amen.